Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 86
of Batman.
Shut up. Nobody heard that but you. Episode 86 of Batmania 66.
All the times.
Tonight's episode is Batman's Satisfaction, which is the second part of the Green Hornet crossover. To start off, something that my brother pointed out to me, all last episode we called him Brett Reed. His name is not Brett. It is Brett with an I.
I didn't call him anything.
I'm sure you did.
I guarantee you I called him Green Hornet Real Guy.
But I... But I promised my brother I would continue to call him Brett for the rest of this episode just to watch him tear his hair out. But when our episode begins, Batman and Robin are glued to the wall still.
Oh, I have a note on this. Robin's cape is glued. So technically he could probably move his whole entire torso.
No, his elbows were glued.
His elbow and his head, one elbow was for sure glued, and his head was definitely glued, but he could have moved his torso around.
But it would have stopped him from doing his cute little,
claw,
cuckoo clock hands, because he kept going, like, marching with just his
forearms. I was doing T-Rex hands.
Oh, that works too. Yeah, either way. But they were trapped and doomed to certain death in the stamp-making machine.
Mm-hmm. When, as is tradition.
Yes. The opening credits, sorry, I noted, referred to Bruce Lee as assistant visiting hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
They couldn't just call him guest star? They couldn't call him... If you're putting together your resume, does assistant hero sound better than sidekick?
Yes. Because,
but only if you don't abbreviate it, because if you abbreviate it, then you're an ass hero.
So, what I think is that you've got your A-list heroes.
Okay, yeah.
And sometimes your A-list heroes need a little help.
Yeah.
So they, what's the word I'm looking for?
Call in? Recruit?
Recruit. A B-list who would be assistant hero.
Do we really think that Kato's less badass?
No, Kato is the most badass person on this entire show.
Just making sure.
The when did this show not feel like it was walking through quicksand? Quicksand? Sand? Mud? Water?
Whatever.
When it didn't feel like it was very, very slow, it was only when
Bruce Kato was
Lee
picking
was,
ass.
Yeah, fighting.
So, a little bit of trivia that I just discovered in trying to research who the wall climb cameo was. Which we'll get to later. But, just read that Burt Ward was often found boasting about his karate skills and how tough he was during the filming of this episode. After hearing these claims, Bruce Lee decided to play a prank on Ward by acting quietly angry and volatile all around him. As a result, when it came time to shoot the fight scene between Robin and Kato, Ward was terrified of Lee. According to a number of witnesses on set, Ward cried out, "Bruce, this isn't real, it's only a show." Someone from the crew was overheard saying, "Look, it's the Black Panther against the Yellow Chicken." If you watch the episode, which I recommend you do, you can clearly see that Bruce Lee is selling the fight. And if that story is true, now we know why he's selling it so hard, because he wants to scare the shit out of Burt Ward.
I mean, he was just doing really solid roundhouse kicks.
Yeah.
He wasn't even doing anything too crazy. Just, he can kick exactly where Burt Ward's nose is.
Yeah. And could destroy Burt Ward in about half a second.
Oh, yeah. He was still clearly taking it easy on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bruce Lee was not breaking a sweat doing this episode.
No!
So Colonel comes up to Batman and Robin and says it's time to make them into stamps now, too. And Batman goes, "You're going to have a pretty hard time because they're glued to an unbreakable glue wall."
Yeah.
And Colonel Gum says, no, I've got this solvent that'll fix everything.
Which was totally a commercial for his solvent, right?
Well, my note here is he could make a fortune in hardware. Like, he doesn't need to be a villain. He'd be a multimillionaire just selling his glue and his solvents. So they unglue Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. We then have the shortest onomatopoeia fight so far.
Zap.
And then Batman explains that he needs to loosen a panel on the giant stamp-making machine because Green Hornet and Kato are still alive inside.
Because reasons.
Because reasons.
Because plot device.
They loosen the panel, mm-hmm. and the Green Hornet uses his hornet sting to blow out the panel, and he and Kato emerge. Ta-da! Safe and sound.
Yep.
This is where... Oh, I forgot what they get into a pissing contest about. But Batman and Green Hornet...
Oh, the thing that was used to copy
right.
them.
Yes, whether or not it was a photocopier or a photocopier. But Batman explains the reason he knew that Green Hornet wasn't dead is because it didn't copy the Hornet's sting baton.
Right. So my note on this is you just have to be right, don't you, Batman?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Can't let it go for a moment.
It was almost uncomfortable to watch.
Meanwhile, Colonel Gum has escaped and is going to kidnap Pinky Pinkston.
Yep. Not Pinkerton.
Yeah, I almost did it. Pinky Pinkston, who is feeding her dog alphabet soup, which is extremely egregious to Colonel Gum. And, sorry, there's a phone going off. And Colonel Gum absconds with Pinky and her dog.
Apricot.
And Batman and Robin start walking out because they can't hold the Green Hornet. They have no evidence against them. So the Green Hornet and Kato leave. Batman and Robin leave the room. And Batman says, and I quote, "I smell pink."
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way. Do you know why I didn't think of it that way?
Why?
Because pink is an actual perfume that I used to wear. Also, they talk for a really long time.
Oh, yeah. This episode is full of
just
talk.
It's like they're doing a podcast about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the worst. And Batman explains that she wears a very rare pink perfume, and he's sniffing the air
so
for
creepy.
It.
It's awful. So creepy.
And they follow the perfume smell into the room with the alphabet soup, and Batman immediately notices that all the J's, Q's, and Z's are missing from the soup. Because, you know, who wouldn't notice that?
Right.
And then he takes out what I dubbed a bat thermos, but is actually named in the episode the Alphabet Soup Bat Container.
Ben, I have a question.
Yes?
Is there a different container for bisque?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and chicken noodle soup. and you know what? Chicken with wild rice. There's another one for that. You can't, like they say in the episode, you have to have the right tool for the right situation.
Oh, man.
There's also a bat funnel, which comes back later in the episode.
I actually really like the bat funnel.
I would use the bat funnel.
I would use the bat funnel.
You know what? If somebody came out, if DC actually came out with a line of homeware, just 1966 Batman homeware, like a bat funnel and bat measuring cups, yeah. I would be all the way down.
Yeah.
Especially like a bat crock pot. Just a crock pot with the bat symbol on it.
They make them for NASCAR. Why shouldn't they make one for Batman?
I would totally go for a Batman decal for my stand mixer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. DC, get on it. Go for it right now. They take the alphabet soup back to the Batcave, where Robin exclaims that he never realized there was no punctuation in alphabet soup. Robin's an idiot.
He at one point says that Batman's female, or Bruce Wayne's female companions are, what does he call them?
Oh, I missed it, but yeah, definitely calls them Loopy.
Yeah, Dingy or something like that. And I wrote Dick is Jelly.
Oh yeah, totally.
Super jelly.
But they talk to Commissioner Gordon and explain that they are very much alive. And then Commissioner Gordon, when Batman says we're still working on a clue, Commissioner Gordon rather forcefully says, by all means, get back to work. which is pretty damn funny.
Yeah. Kamish was killing it this episode. Yeah, I enjoyed him. Maybe just because his lines didn't seem ridiculous.
Or he talked the least out of anybody in this episode.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. We have another pissing contest scene. Oh, because Britt is in the living room. And Aunt Harriet can't entertain him because she's drying her hair.
Yep.
So Bruce goes up and talks to Britt. And they get into a pissing contest over... switching places with Batman or the Green Hornet.
Yeah. Would you switch places?
Right.
Well, I wouldn't with Batman, that tool bag.
Yeah, with his crazy cowl. And then Bruce gets all butthurt.
And then the music goes... Womp, 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 womp.
My next note, after Britt leaves, we're back in the Batcave. My next note is, soup doesn't go in computers. Because they take all of the noodles, which have now gone completely dry... And as Holly points out, look much more like Lucky Charms pieces. They put them into the Bat computer, which then analyzes all the letters and comes up with a straight up paragraph from Pinky Pinkston about being kidnapped and where she's being held.
Yeah. Duh.
That's not how that works.
That's exactly how that works, Ben.
The amount of time
Ben, that's exactly how that works.
But the amount of time
Ben, that's exactly how that works. The dog knew which letters to eat out of the soup. It's exactly how that works. You know why?
Why?
Reasons.
Okay. So it's a message about where she's being held.
She doesn't even know where she's going to be held.
But that gum is coming for the Stamp Expo is what we find out.
Right.
Holy shit. You know what I just realized?
That we have wasted so much time of our lives doing this.
No. That these fuckers, pardon me, never go back and actually explain what happened to her dead husband's stamp.
It's her dad.
Her dead dad's stamp. Oh my god, that pisses me off more than anything else. They keep talking about this priceless stamp. They never show it. They never do anything with it. Oh, that bugs the... Okay, sorry. So she's being held, and she's going to be at the Stamp Expo. And they try to figure out where she's being held by pulling a random page out of the Yellow Pages and feeding it into the Bat computer.
Yeah.
Which immediately fritzes out.
Yeah.
And they complain about the Bat computer still having problems, and Alfred walks in and explains it's not the Bat computer, that Aunt Harriet's hairdryer has basically blacked out the entire city. Or at least the entire house.
Damn women. And it'll take hours.
Hours. He has to call an electrician and somebody else. And I don't remember who.
An old priest and a young priest.
And this is when Batman makes a comment about vanity. Because women are the worst.
And I wrote, damn it, Aunt Harriet. Women are the freaking worst.
Also, two things. One, the Batcave doesn't have a backup generator. Question mark.
No, it has a nuclear.
No, that's for the Batmobile. That's the remote nuclear pile for the Batmobile. Also, if one looks in the background after the Batcave is supposed to be blacked out, the computers in the background still have blinking lights.
Yeah, they're plugged into a different wall.
Then can't they just plug in the computer to that wall?
No, Ben.
Why not?
Those computers are already plugged in there.
But you can unplug the ones you're not using and then plug in the ones you are using.
No, that's not how that works.
Because reasons?
Reasons.
So we're in the warehouse with Colonel Gum and Pinky.
Who, all every time you say it, I just want to call him Colonel Clink. Every time. Sorry, carry on.
Hogan. They're talking about Green Hornet and Batman and Kato and Robin. And Colonel Gum is acting as if they're all dead. Colonel Gum knows for a fact that Batman and Robin aren't dead because he left when they were still very well alive and not in the stamp machine.
Right.
So is this just a continuity mistake? Is he playing at them being dead to confuse Pinky? I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so she'll think that he's dead. That Batman's dead. Yeah.
I see. Okay. All right. Maybe. But this is where... he explains his hypothesis that because Bruce Wayne came around asking about Pinky's dad's priceless stamp, and then Green Hornet came around asking about Pinky's dad's priceless stamp, that Bruce is the Green Hornet and Britt is Batman.
Yeah.
Now, the obvious flaw in this is that Britt Reed does not live in Gotham. And Bruce Wayne does not live in Green Hornet City.
Right.
So, they wouldn't likely be each other.
Ben, are you implying this villain is dumb and illogical?
Yes. Especially since he didn't just patent all his glue formulas and make $1 million off of that.
He would have been a millionaire.
We then cut to... Wait, how does Pinky escape? I don't remember.
The dog chews her ropes.
Right. And we never actually see her escape. She just tells the dog to chew the ropes, and then she's...
And then the dog jumps off her lap and walks off stage, and we are to assume.
Right. Okay. That's why I couldn't remember.
Because it didn't, like...
Make sense?
Yeah.
She goes to Commissioner Gordon's office and explains her hypothesis and then says, call Britt and call Bruce, because if they answer, clearly that can't be true because Batman and Green Hornet are dead.
Right. Like, everybody knows all the time.
And then Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara say, the devil you say! And
literally, that's what they said.
Is it really?
I think so.
Wow. And
that's what I heard.
You heard potato, potato, potato.
That is what I hear.
They,
you know who hasn't been on in a while?
Eric. Huh? Eric Balachowski. He was the one who came up with Potato O'Connor.
Yeah, it's Potato O'Connor, though. Yeah. That's who that.
Oh, you meant. Also, oh, you didn't also, mean the guest. You
I'm
meant
like,
the
I'm like,
the
what
show.
Character is Eric?
Oh, like, Eric's should quite I know? A character, all right.
I'm like, shoot, who's that supposed to be? Yes, Eric, come back on.
You meant on their show, not our show.
Yes.
And sorry, potato, potato. They explained that they just talked to Batman earlier today.
And he sounded very much alive.
Yes, because talking to dead people, you know, they sound very much dead. We cut to Green Hornet and Kato getting ready to go to the Stamp Expo.
Curling their hair.
By the way, how would they know about the Stamp Expo? They didn't have access to the alphabet soup.
Everyone knows about the Stamp Expo.
Oh, okay. I'll accept
they
that.
They went as enthusiasts.
Because reasons.
Because this episode felt like 1,000 years
old. Oh, God, it was so long. The scene between Bruce and Britt just took forever. Oh, it was awful. Awful, awful, awful. But Kato walks in and says to Britt, you seem thoughtful. That's not quite the sentence he was looking for.
Did that seem wrong to you, too? Like, yeah. It just felt, like, pensive.
Pensive, yeah. Or but you seem preoccupied. Or
yeah, do you think they just didn't think their audience would?
I don't know. But you seem thoughtful isn't quite right. That would be like...
You're so thoughtful.
Like he had bought Kato flowers or something.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You're so thoughtful. Not, you seem thoughtful.
By the way, when's the last time he bought Kato flowers?
You don't bring me flowers.
Meanwhile, Batman and Robin have decided that they're going to go up the wall to the Stamp Expo, which is where we get our window cameo. And it's from Edward G. Robinson, which neither Holly nor I
no clue
got, so we looked it up. But Edward G. Robinson wastes no time taking a huge dig at pop art in Andy Warhol.
Who is he?
Edward G. Robinson is an actor. A lot of great films. One sec. There we go. Edward G. Robinson, gangster actor. Mm. He was in Double Indemnity and Key Largo. He was in
Montego?
The Ten Commandments.
Baby, why don't we go?
Down to Kokomo?
To Bermuda.
He was also in Soylent Green.
Is People?
It's People. Let me see other stuff, good stuff. Yeah, so Edward G. Robinson, classic gangster actor.
Got it.
Definitely older in this than he was in his heyday. Anyway, Edward G. Robinson takes a shot at Andy Warhol. because soup is for eating, not for drawing or something. And at the Stamp Expo, Colonel Gum shows up as Senor Barbosa from the Argentine, which I only wrote down because I think he's a descendant of Captain Barbosa.
I think you're right.
Must be. And, oh, while Captain Barbosa is, sorry, Senor Barbosa is there, Green Hornet and Kato show up, and a man with the most fantastic mutton chops panics and says, "The Green Hornet!" And then Batman and Robin show up from behind the window, and he says, "And Batman!" And he's just fawning over them, but he has the best Martin Van Buren going on.
That was the best close-up I've ever seen.
Oh, so good. This is where we have the second onomatopoeia fight, where they must have destroyed millions of dollars of countless stamps at the Stamp Expo.
Yep. Crash, Whack, and Zam. That's it. It's really low.
Well, because they burned the first one earlier.
Yeah.
But this is also where we have Bruce Lee terrorizing Burt Ward.
So good.
So good.
And for the record, I don't suggest you watch this entire episode.
Just skip to the last fight.
Skip to the last fight.
And then they beat up all the henchmen. They get into a standoff with Kato and the Green Hornet. And then the announcer comes in, which made me panic and think it was a three-parter.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it's not a three-parter. Colonel Gum circles round and grabs Pinky. Green Hornet and Kato run off. Batman and Robin go out the window and somehow end up behind Colonel Gum.
Oh! Where does that window lead to an M.C. Escher painting?
Yeah. It leads behind Colonel Gum. That's what it does.
It doesn't make any sense.
Certainly not with the amount of time it took for them to get all the way around.
No, it's like they went through a portal. I don't know.
So they catch Colonel Gum. And the next thing we see is Britt and Pinky at lunch in the same restaurant with the lingerie girls. But I didn't see any lingerie girls this time.
No lingerie girls this time.
And Pinky is explaining that she thinks that Britt is Batman and Bruce is the Green Hornet. And Britt is laughing at that. Meanwhile, Bruce is out at one of the phone booths outside the restaurant. He has Alfred, he calls the Batcave, and has Alfred put the phone receiver up to the phone receiver of the red bat phone. When Commissioner Gordon picks up, he asks Commissioner Gordon to call the restaurant, which this was Holly's favorite moment in the episode, because Commissioner Gordon just randomly knows the phone number of the restaurant.
He was remembering it. Because he did some actual acting, but he knows it, which doesn't make any sense. But he remembered. He's like a six. It's great.
Yeah. Maybe it's his favorite restaurant.
I bet
with all the women's.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is. I guess it makes sense. This is the time where people had to remember phone numbers.
And
I think phone numbers were shorter then. They weren't all seven numbers then?
No,
they were still seven. Oh, no, they were because you said 555, 555, 555.
And so the way this works, Alfred is holding the receiver to the bat phone. Mr. Gordon is holding the bat phone receiver to his receiver to the restaurant. The phone is then delivered to Pinky, and she's able to hear Batman with perfect fidelity.
Ben.
Yes?
I have a question.
Yes.
Why didn't he just call the restaurant?
Because if the call was traced, then it... No. Nope, there's no reason. None whatsoever. Maybe he didn't know the number.
Yes, I bet you are correct.
Pardon me. So he talks to Pinky, and this convinces Pinky that Britt could not possibly be Batman.
Right.
Therefore, Bruce could not possibly be the Green Hornet.
Of course not.
And she begs Britt not to tell Bruce about her crazy, crazy theory.
Yeah.
Hypothesis. And Bruce walks in, turns to Apricot, and says, "So, what were you talking about?" Or what
were you saying? As you were saying.
As you were saying. And Pinky goes, "Bruce, don't be crazy. You're talking to a dog." Everybody laughs.
And Holly yells at the TV.
And that's the end of the episode. Because that's how they decided to go out.
Because with a whimper.
Yes. Holly yells out, "That's not a joke." And I yell, and I say back, "Yes, it is." She's like, "But that's not funny." I was like, "That's not what you complained about." And that, in fact, is the end of our crossover with the Green Hornet. Which, if nothing else, gave us the Green Hornet terrorizing, or Kato terrorizing Robin.
Ben. Can you make that a GIF?
I can do that.
Please do.
Our next episode coming up is going to be episode 87, which is King Tut's Coup.
Woohoo!
Pretty sure that's an Egghead episode.
I'm pretty sure. We should see if, I bet we can talk some people into coming on the show to do a King Tut episode.
Because King Tut's awesome.
Yeah.
King Tut and Egghead were always my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Ben.
But now that I'm a grown-up, Catwoman's my favorite.
Well, yeah, no.
Yes? You're going to say you're Ben?
No, I don't know.
Okay. If you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Batmania66.
Ben's dying. You can email us at Batmania66mail@gmail.com, or you can email me specifically at julietamorcobonoandtheedge@gmail.com. It's a lot of letters, but it's super worth it.
Yep. Oh yeah, totally worth it. And if you want to find Holly on the Twitters, you can find her at _awkwardblonde. Just so you guys know, we're getting closer to the end here. There's only 120 episodes. So we've only got 33 to go.
Oh really?
Yeah. Huh. And then a movie, and then the animated movie.
Right.
Which, by the way, I watched the animated movie the other day. Totally worth it. So Return of the Caped Crusader, definitely worth a watch.
You watched it without me?
Yeah, I was homesick. It was... We can watch it together.
I watched The Room.
The Room or Room?
The Room.
You mean the Tommy Wiseau?
Yes, it did.
Oh, that's a special piece of special. Okay, really quick, because we're a little bit light today anyway. I'm going to tell you guys my Tommy Wiseau story.
Oh.
Right after I saw it for the first time, which was at a friend's bad movie night, I went to Comic-Con with my brother, his then-fiancé, and one of our friends named Liz. And we were walking across the street in San Diego, across from the convention center, and this very tall man with very stringy black hair comes wandering past me with a big, big box under one arm. And as he's walking past me, he takes out a CD jewel case and slams it against my chest and says, "Here, take this." Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just presses. I mean, like, actually hits me in the chest with it.
Right.
And I sort of grab it as it falls down. And I look at it, and it is a DVD of trailers for The Room. So he's apparently got this whole box of trailers.
Of trailers.
And he's just handing them out as he's walking. And I look at it, and I'm still standing in the middle of the street. And I shout to my brother, "Holy poop!" Not shit. Poop. I actually was so excited, I yelled, "Holy poop!" Uh-huh. "Barrick, this is the movie I was telling you about!" And so I gave it to him. I don't know if he ever watched it. I don't know if he's ever seen the movie. But shortly thereafter, a friend had a birthday party where we went to one of the midnight screenings, and he did a Q&A.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah.
Really weird dude who... He likes to act like he's in on the joke, but you can tell he's pretty pissed.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, I feel like that movie was him working out some demons.
Oh, hi, Mock. The best thing about the midnight screenings, though, if you live in a town that does midnight screenings of The Room, because they didn't take the stock photos out of any of the photo frames.
Yeah, the spoon thing.
Yeah, people throw cutlery whenever they come up because there's spoons and knives and forks in the stock photos.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best. Or maybe, do you think he was raised by cutlery?
Oh my God.
That's
maybe his that adds mom layers. Is the dish who ran away with the spoon.
When we were watching, okay, one more thing about The Room, and then I'll let everybody go. When we were watching it at Bad Movie Night, my friend Trevor, who was the host, I made him do the most amazing spit take I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen The Room, one of the things that runs through the movie is that apparently the way men bond is by throwing a football.
Yeah.
Because that's a men thing. Right. Men thing, yeah. We're watching the movie. We're halfway through. A little more than halfway through. They're tossing the football around, and I go, oh, I get it. The football's a metaphor for Lisa. And he spits out his beer, lunges himself forward, and catches the beer in midair. It was the best thing I've ever seen
Who
in my
was
life.
It, Trevor?
Yeah.
Nice. Do you remember when you made my ex-fiance do a spit take so hard? It was here. We were playing board games.
I don't remember what I said.
I don't remember. It was... I just remember.
Oh, I know I remember. Yeah, it was a good spit take, but yeah. Not as good as Trevor's.
Yeah, well, he didn't catch it. It just went all over
like
David.
Yes. Like in a marching band or a gymnastics competition. It wasn't so much the trip. It was the recovery.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
All right, everybody. So we'll see you next week, in a couple weeks, because I'm going on vacation.
Bye, Ben.
We'll see
and
you
it'll
soon.
Be my birthday.
Happy birthday, Holly.
Thanks, Ben.
We'll see you soon for episode 87, which will feature King Tut, who's got a condo made of stona. And we'll... Steve Martin reference.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye.